Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, connecting you to a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for joining us today. You can subscribe to keep up to date with us. Did you know you can also join our service each Sunday via a live online meeting? Please get in touch to find out more about that. But for now, we pray you enjoy what God has in store for you in this episode and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name's Phil.
And I'm Sue.
And this is Hawley Baptist Church live stream. So we're really glad you joined us, whether it's the morning, the Sunday morning, or whether you're joining us in an evening during the week. We're really glad you're with us. I'm glad you got the energy. We were just talking about that, weren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Going swimming. It takes the effort to get in there, doesn't it? But we're glad you made the effort and that you're here this morning, well, this morning, this evening, wherever you are. And we're starting a new series, aren't we?
We're on
a new one.
It's called Open Invite.
It is. Open Invitation.
Open Invitation, sorry.
Yeah. And it's, I always think Open Invitation is a bit dodgy. You never know who's going to turn up.
Open house, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it is. Yeah. But maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point. You don't know who's going to turn up and you leave that to God. So this, yeah, I know. Yeah. But we're talking about, this morning we're talking about a text where, I think it's Philip invites Nathaniel and he says, come and see is an invitation. Mm. And he invites him to come and see Jesus and to see for himself what's going on. So this morning we're talking about making invitations to others, something we don't feel confident in most of the time. And what's amazing about invitations is you never know what hangs on it.
Yeah.
I remember I got an invitation when I was in my 20s. I got an invitation. Our youth worker was saying, oh, we're going to run this event down at the sports centre. Swimming pools again,
I'm afraid.
Yeah, just to mention it. So it was a sports centre event, youth event, and he needed volunteers. And I could have said, oh, no, I'm too busy. I can't do that. But I actually went. And if I hadn't have gone, I wouldn't have met my wife, who was also volunteering.
There you go.
And it's amazing how a tiny decision to accept a sort of invitation can change the rest of your life.
Brilliant.
And that's true all the time,
yeah,
isn't it?
Definitely.
So that's you never know what hangs on an invitation and saying yes to it. So we hope you enjoy this series. So today's called Come and See. Helen's going to be preaching on that. Here's a little intro to what it's all about.
Some of the biggest moments in life start with something small, an invitation, a coffee, a conversation, a simple come and see. For many of us, our faith began because someone reached out, someone invited us. So what if your invitation could change someone's life? Because a simple invite can change everything.
Good morning, everyone. I don't really say anything. That video sort of did it for me. So how about we all go home early? But I am going to kick off by being really honest with you all. It's not the cool thing to say, what I'm about to say, but bear with me. I love my iPhone. Everyone's so cool and be like, oh no, I'd much rather go back to having a Nokia 3310. Such a simple life, No, give me the gadgets, give me the fun. Give me the fun apps. One of my favorite apps is an app called What Three Words. Does anyone know What Three Words? Perfect, I love so many of you know this, it's great. For those of you that don't know what Three Words is, basically the entire globe has been split up into tiny 3 meter squares. And each square has its own unique set of three random words. So instead of trying to say, I'm outside number 17 at the top of a hill near the big oak tree, you can just say banana toast window and they'll know exactly where you are. It's brilliant. It means if you break down, say in the middle of nowhere, you can call the AA and say, I'm a sparkle parrot teapot, and somehow they will find you. It's great for navigation. It's great for ambulances and rescue services, finding an emergency in the middle of nowhere. Or my favourite, it's really helpful for takeaway delivery drivers to find an obscure address. But here are some examples of other places. So Love Streams Oasis. I think that fits fairly well with being the Globe in London. Wake's Hush Finest is the Pyramid Stage at Glastonbury. Or Solitaire Sandbags Disastrous, not quite so positive, is Stella Point, which is 5,756 metres at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. Or one that's very dear to many of us, Meals Host Tapes, which is our church door. And any of those three words could help you, whether it's finding your mates at a festival or mountain rescue getting you from halfway up Kilimanjaro. But today we're going to look at a different three words, an even more powerful three words. We're going to look at one of my favourite little moments in John's Gospel, which is one of the four accounts, basically the four biographies of Jesus that we find in our Bible. It's when Philip meets Jesus and then runs off to tell his mate Nathaniel. And the whole thing hinges on just three words. Come and see. That's it. There's no lecture, no debate, no long list of reasons. Just come and see. And those three little words changed Nathaniel's life and his eternity. And that obviously got me thinking. I love words. I'm a linguist, for those of you that don't know. And I was thinking about words and thinking about different places we use them. And I was thinking, if we could sum up our faith journey in just three words, or maybe your life right now in just three words, what would they be? Would it be, I'm excited and enthusiastic? Would it be, I'm curious, but I'm a bit cautious? Would it be, used to believe? Would it be tired, but hopeful? Or believer, but stagnant? For Philip and Nathaniel, it was come and see. Now, before we go any further, let me just say, this isn't one of those sermons, it's not one of those talks where if you're not a follower of Jesus, you can sit back and go, great, this one's for the church people, I can have 20 minutes just to chill. You don't get away with it that easily this week. Because this story isn't just about the one doing the inviting, Philip, it's also about the one being invited, Nathaniel. So maybe you're here this morning because someone invited you, or you were curious, or you just thought, fine, I'll come if it makes them stop asking. And that is okay, because you are a part of this story too. Because Jesus' invitation of come and see isn't just for people who already believe. It's for those who are still wondering, still asking, not sure if this whole thing is even real. And honestly, that is a great place to start. Because faith doesn't begin with having all the answers. Faith begins with curiosity. So wherever you are in your journey today, whether you're here for the second time or for the thousandth time, this is for you. So many of the biggest moments in our life start with an invitation. Just think to yourself, what was the best invitation you ever received? What was it great? Why was it great? Maybe it was a wedding, or to come on an all-expenses-paid holiday, or maybe a first date. Do you want to come? Fancy giving this a go? Come and see. It's simple, but it can really change things. So a bit of a story that not too long ago, I had a couple of friends who were performing some live music at Serendipity in town. Now, I wanted to go and watch them, but I did not want to go by myself. So I invited two other mates to come with me, and they very quickly said yes. I was well excited, well up for it, let's go. But then I realized I'd never actually heard Leanne and Ryan sing before. Suddenly I'm thinking, oh no, What if they're awful? What if it's one of those gigs where everyone politely claps, but everyone's deeply uncomfortable? But thankfully, they were brilliant. We had a great time, and I was very relieved. But it reminded me that invitation does also carry a bit of a risk. Leanne and Ryan might have been awful. But you'll never know how it goes without inviting to go. Because without taking that step, you'd never discover what you might have missed. You'll never know how it'll go. If you never invite, you'll never find out. And that's true of faith as well. Inviting someone to church, to a group, or to a conversation about faith. It's a risk. But without the invitation, where's the opportunity for God to do something incredible? So let's have a look at our Bible story today. We're going to read from quite early in the book of John, which, as I say, is one of the Gospels, which is one of the four biographies of Jesus' time here on the earth. If you're following along, whether that be in a printed Bible, a Bible app, or just BibleGateway.com, it's 1 John 43 to 51. And it says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, and of whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under that fig tree. You will see things greater than that. Then he added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So Philip meets Jesus, completely changed. The first thing he does, run off and find his mate Nathanael. He doesn't give him a long sermon. He doesn't give him all the answers. He doesn't whip out a scroll and say, here are 12 reasons why this man fulfills the messianic prophets. He just says, come and see. It's so simple, but so powerful. But when Philip goes to tell Nathanael about Jesus, Nathanael has a classic, what I think is quite a British response, sarcasm. It says, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? It's the ancient equivalent of, really? That random village up north? You sure? Or it's a bit like saying, the saviour of the world is coming from Slough. He's having a laugh. He's taking the mick. But Philip doesn't argue, doesn't try to convince him. He just says those three magic words. Come and see. And Nathanael does. And that encounter changes everything. It's such a good reminder that just because someone's joking about faith or appears to be mocking or pretending they're not interested, it doesn't mean that God is not already working in them. I think often, sometimes, we fall into a trap of thinking, there's no point inviting them. They're never going to say yes. But sometimes the loudest mockers are the closest to a breakthrough. No one is too far from God. However, let's be honest. Inviting someone to church can be a bit scary. Inviting them to anything church-related can be a bit nerve-wracking. You think, what if they say no? What if it just something weird happens that day? And let's be real. Church can be a bit unpredictable. Not here, obviously. We are flawless. But you know what I mean. Sometimes someone says something a bit wacky, or the tech goes wrong, or maybe a guitar runs out of battery, or the sermon goes on a bit. But obviously, don't never hear, obviously. But it is a risk. But in John 1, three small words changed a life forever. So even if your invite doesn't go perfectly, you never know how God might use it. As I say, my friends were actually super good at serendipity. My friends actually enjoyed it. And it transpired to be an evening that secured and deepened all those friendships with those performing and those that I invited. And if my friends singing show tunes at a cafe cum bar can do that, imagine how much more God can do. Because often when we first become Christians, when we first start following Jesus, sometimes we're actually more bold about inviting people. We're excited. We want to tell everyone what we found. But as time goes on, that excitement sort of fades a little bit. We get a bit used to it. Life happens. We get tired, busy, comfortable. I've actually got a sticker on my laptop that says, "Remember your why." And now normally that's helping me do some work, as I remember that actually most of what I do, if we're not, if you know, it's for God, obviously, but it's also for my son. He is why I do most of the things that I do. He's why I go to work, so I can earn a living, so I can pay for him to have a Paw Patroller for Christmas that he's been asking for since May. But remember your why. Why are you here today? Why are we all here? Why do we care? Why do we keep coming back, whether it's for the second time or for the 1,722nd time? That'd be about 30 years. For many of us, it's because someone invited us. Someone took a risk. Someone said, "Come and see." And that made all the difference. And listen, it's not just about inviting someone to a Sunday service. It could be to a men's curry. It could be to a women's event that will be coming up shortly. It could be to Alpha, to Colour Wheel on a Thursday. It could be to a house group. It could be to Jingle and Joy. Yes, I'm going there. Christmas is coming. An invitation to explore faith doesn't have to start in church. Sometimes it starts over a coffee or a WhatsApp message when you say, "Hey, this might sound a bit random, but fancy coming along?" That may be to come and enjoy, but I'm going to be really honest now. And I know someone else here who this is very similar for them too. Someone inviting me to something where I don't know what to expect, I don't know what to do, is a bit nerve-wracking, even as the resident extrovert. But give me a job, I'm happy then. Maybe you want to invite people to come and join in and be a part of something. But maybe you want to invite someone to come and help. Maybe Jingle and Joy, you have that perfect person who would love it, but they would never come. But saying, "Oh, I'm going to be making candy floss for a couple of hours. Do you think you could come and help me?" Maybe that is easier. Maybe it's easier for you. Maybe it's easier for them to say yes. On the whole, we want to serve our friends, serve our family and our community. But every now and again, asking for help can be just as powerful. So if you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, you wouldn't say that you're a follower of Jesus, maybe you're curious, maybe you're cautious, maybe you're still working things out. That's absolutely okay. You don't have to have it all figured out to take another step. You don't have to have it all figured out to come back again next week. You don't have to have it all figured out to get someone to come with you. So if you're still trying to work all this Jesus stuff out, why not get someone else to come with you so you can work it out together? You can wrestle with all this Jesus stuff with someone else. Philip didn't say to Nathaniel, "Come and believe." He said, "Come and see. Come and ask your questions. Come and explore. Come and see for yourself." So back to what three words? If Philip and Nathaniel's faith journey could be summed up with "come and see," what would yours be? Is it looking for hope? Is it trusting again slowly? Or holding on somehow? Whatever your three words are today, that is your starting point. And Jesus meets you right there. He doesn't wait for us to have the perfect faith or to have the perfect answers. He just says, come and see. Take a step. Explore. Be curious. But maybe you're someone who has been walking with God for a long time. And maybe your three words need to change from comfortable but quiet to invite and see. So here's the challenge for this week. Who could you invite? And what are you going to invite them to? Maybe it's a friend, a neighbor, a family member, a work colleague. Who are you going to give that little card to? Whether to their face, dropping it in their bag, or posting it through their letterbox incognito. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't need a perfect pitch. You just need three words. Come and see. It might feel awkward. It might feel risky. You might get a sarcastic Nazareth moment. But you never know what God might do. Because Nathaniel started the day mocking and ended the day meeting the Messiah. It might be the start of someone's story. Because sometimes the simplest words, come and see, can change your life forever. Or maybe if you're really honest, you're the one who needs to accept that invitation again, to let God breathe new life into the fire that's grown dim. We're now going to just reflect on some questions as the band come back up and lead us in a time of song worship.
To whom or where will you look for opportunities to say, come and see? What do you need to ask God for in order to feel bold and empowered enough to invite someone to something? What could we as a church and community do to make invitation easier? Chat to your home group leader or someone on the leadership team to share your ideas.
There you go.
Interesting.
I always get a bit nervous. I always get a bit nervous about the invitation process and
yeah.
And when churches say, we need you to invite people.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I find that quite challenging.
I do actually. Yeah, I'm rubbish at it.
To be honest, actually. So it's good we're talking about it. We're getting our anxiety out this morning. There you go. Who invited you? What happened in your
life? I was brought up in a Christian home, so church was sort of a normal thing.
Okay.
So whenever I left home, I think the easiest place where you knew that you'd be accepted would be in a church, actually.
Yeah, okay. So it's part of the family ethos anyway. Yeah. But none of us were Christian. We weren't Christians.
Right.
And
okay.
And I had an uncle who was a Baptist minister. And we ended up, through various circumstances, we ended up supported by them because our family was going through a tough time. And me and my sister ended up living in the manse for a while.
All right.
And because we were there, we thought, well, we've got to go. Everybody's going along to church on Sunday morning. The minister is, obviously, and his family are. So we sort of tagged along. We didn't have to. And that was for me, the invitation. But it was sort of circumstances that pushed me in that way, and that happens for people, doesn't it?
I think it does, actually. Yes, I think it does. And actually, I think what Helen was saying, I think being asked to help at something is probably easier than
an
invitation to an event.
Yeah. Because is it one of the questions, what do you need to ask God for in order to feel bold and empowered enough to invite someone? Well, it might be actually, what does the church need to provide as well to give you that confidence? And doing something is an interesting one, isn't it? Rather than just come and sit and listen and have some presentation, actually
come and join and see that we're normal.
Yeah, because working alongside people is a really good way for people to come and see.
Yeah.
I remember in the church that I went to, I ended up helping out with the drama group. Drama was a big thing. Yeah. It's not such a big thing nowadays because we're all so used to Netflix and Amazon Prime that seeing a bunch of Christians trying to act is probably not a good idea. But in those days, didn't have streaming services or anything like that. It was, you know, drama was a bit bigger. And I got involved in a little drama group. And I got to know and see a lot, and especially when you're doing drama, all the, you know, a lot of the inhibitions drop away. Oh, don't they? Yeah. So it was a really good way for me to see a bunch of Christians and to think, oh, actually, I quite like these people. They've got something that I haven't got. There's something about them, and it made me curious. So do, and I think blokes particularly.
Yes, and Helen mentioned that curry evening. I think the men here often go out to curry things and doing activities together.
Yeah,
but actually, food is a big social thing. Actually, so you can just talk, it's just to talk about life, actually, isn't it? But doing stuff outside of the church, I think, is very good, actually, to see that we don't actually live here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah. No, that's right. We're not some little cliquey bunch who just hang out.
Yeah, but you can go out and have a beer.
Yes.
You do go out and have a beer. And
have a Cobra.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Whatever is your personal tipple of choice. There you go. So I think that's right. But I think blokes particularly, you know, if you ask a bloke to come along and sit down and just have a heart-to-heart, mate, we'll run a mile.
Yeah.
But you ask, well, can you come and help out? We're doing this, we're doing that, and we need a hand. People, you know, a bit of AV or a bit of DIY or a bit of Jingle and Joy stuff. Can you come and make something, do something? I think guys needed sort of, this is why I'm here, but I'm observing while I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And that's how most of us operate, I think, as guys. Yeah. Not all of us, but most of us. But I think it's because it does feel risky, doesn't it, inviting people?
Yes, definitely.
There's always a risk. Is it going to be naff? Am I going to cringe? And I've been a Christian stuff where I've thought, ooh.
Yeah.
Just thinking I'm glad I didn't invite anybody, you know. But I think that's because we try and do stuff. One of the things I'm always concerned with is that sometimes churches try and they see something going on out in the community, organized professionally and really well, and they try and replicate it, and they can't.
Oh, no.
Doesn't work,
no,
does it?
No, it doesn't at all. No, absolutely not.
So I think it's best to step into other people's shoes out there and say, actually, not let's replicate what people are doing out there. But what do people really need? What are they missing in their lives? Because I think you often hear about people who come to faith because they're down and out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've hit the bottom and they got no other choice. You know, it's God or nothing. They've got nowhere else to turn. Some people come to faith through that, through circumstances, but other people come to faith because they're not down and out but up and out. They've got to the top, they got the trophies, they got the house and the car, and for some reason it's not ticking the box. There's something missing.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, do people just take themselves to church? I think more often than not, people get invited.
Yeah, they do. I think they need to know a Christian. I think they need to know a Christian. So it's about us getting out there, isn't it?
It is, actually.
It's about us making connections.
And making it known to Christians.
And I think it starts not by saying, come here. I think it starts by us deciding, I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there and I'm going to get to know people. Because one of the big hindrances why people don't come is because it's our territory.
Yeah.
What if we start that come and see process by meeting them in their territory, in their turf, and go where they are? So, you know. We were talking earlier, weren't we, about where we meet and things like that. You know, rather than trying to replicate it here, why don't we just go where people are? Yeah. So,
The pub.
Yeah.
A group from here, go to the pub. And actually, pubs are very social places, so you start chatting to the locals.
There are some house groups in churches that meet in. I was reading about one the other day. a church, and I don't know why I was reading about their church and what they did, and one of their house groups is in a pub.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's a little Anglican church, and
oh,
one of
brilliant.
A real variety of groups yeah. for different people, but one of them just meets in a pub. And, you know.
I have to say, I also think it's important for us not to restrict ourselves in things that we do outside of church, because actually we go to places, we meet people, we make friends in places. Because mm-hmm. I think there can always be a tendency of, you know, the stuff going on in the church, just do everything in the church, but yeah. actually getting out and yeah. into those places yeah. as well.
So come and see is sort of step two, I think.
I think so. You've got to go out and...
First step is go and meet.
Exactly.
So yeah. go and meet, make friendship, you know, friendships and relationships. And genuinely, whether they, it's not with an agenda of a spiritual scout, it's to meet people.
Yeah.
And they're great fun. Yeah. People are great fun. So, so meet people, it'll enhance your life. And then when they know you and trust you, then you can say, come and see. And they're already coming to see because they're seeing you.
Exactly.
You're going to them. That's what Jesus did, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
I don't think he sat in a building and asked everybody to come to him.
No.
He was on the move all the time and he went to
and
where
he went
the people
to where they
were.
Exactly.
And some dodgy places. Yeah. He got a bit of a rep, didn't he?
Yeah.
Because he was meeting in tax collectors, yeah. collaborators' houses and all sorts of places where, yeah, the religious people, oh, you can't go there. You can't meet people there. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he met them in their on their terms yeah. in their place. It's really good. Yeah. So I think it's about and I think it's about offering what we uniquely have, because as I think as a Christian community, as God's family, we have something that the world is begging for yes. at the moment. I think isolation is a massive huge. Issue. Lack of relationship, yeah. lack of community. That is something I was in a swimming pool. I have all my conversations in swimming pool. I have two in last week, yeah. I met this guy. It was really funny. He was obviously quite old. And I said, how old are you? He had a Zimmer frame in the swimming pool. Not in the pool, obviously, because I don't think he was allowed to do that. We had a Zimmer frame. And in the changing room afterwards, I said, how old are you? And he said, pardon? Because he was deaf as a post. But I really yelled it. How old are you? And he said, 97.
No way.
Yeah. He
That's
was not,
amazing.
He's swimming at 97. Good man. Oh,
No.
I don't think I'll be around at 97, let alone swimming. And he was bemoaning the fact that the world has changed. There's no community.
Yeah.
And he missed. He says, my daughter goes on at me because I'm always talking about the past. But what I miss is community, that there isn't any anymore. And I think it's right. There's a big problem in our
Yes, I was, that's probably a bit off the track of what we're meant to be talking about, but we don't know our neighbours, do
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
People do not know their neighbours, and I think
yeah.
in years gone by.
Especially with all the new build.
Well, indeed.
Everybody build,
yeah.
everybody moves in, nobody knows each
exactly.
other. We're in that boat. We're in a yeah. relatively new build. It's only been there 4 years.
Yeah.
It, you know, initially nobody knew anybody, yeah. and they still struggle.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if we're going to invite people to come and see, what do we have that the world really needs, that we all need, that I need and you need? Mm-hmm. It is that sense of being a family, being a community,
yeah.
and that's what we do really well.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's do that. And things like curry nights are a way you build
so.
Community,
yeah.
food, hospitality. It's interesting that our What Three Words has the word host in it.
Yes.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Maybe that's not accidental. That word was allocated somehow.
I don't know who generates those words.
I don't know. I'm assuming we don't. I assume they just it generates them automatically. But, yeah, so I think offering something, because we think we know what everybody wants, but actually I think that's definitely one thing that the world feels like it needs.
Yeah.
Is being together and having a sense of belonging and community and being part of something bigger than yourself.
Mm.
I think everybody wants that. Well, most people want that. Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, so I think that's really good. So, and those folks who've got to the top and the up and outers who are missing that sort of stuff, they're missing that sense of belonging and being part of something bigger than themselves. is really important. So I think we have these wonderful things to offer, and we need to invite people to receive it. But first we need to meet people, meet people where they are. One thing I think I was thinking about, I was having a conversation in the hospital the other day, and it was someone who wasn't a Christian. Where I meet a lot of people, I'm a chaplain, so I meet a lot of people who don't necessarily have any faith, you know, fairly agnostic, haven't thought about it. And I rocked up and saw this person because I'm on the palliative board round, so I thought I'd drop in and see how they're doing. And not a Christian, but she thanked me in the end. I've seen her a few times now, and she said, thank you for not being pushy.
That's good.
She knew, one of the beauties I have is I announce who I am to start with. So they know I'm a Christian and a chaplain. But she said, I was so grateful that you were pushy.
Interesting.
Because that's the one thing. If you're going to invite anybody.
Yeah, I think people is it fearful or just do not want to have the Bible round at
them?
They just want to see that you're actually a human person who's kind.
Yeah, I think so. Because if you're in a, I don't know about you, if you're in a shop and there's some pushy salesperson,
I don't walk away.
Yeah, I do. So why would anybody else not do the same? I hate that. I hate it when someone's all in your business trying to get you to buy what they're selling.
Yeah.
We all hate that. So why do we do it? And I think it's our anxiety, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, yes.
So an invitation, often, it's our anxiety that it's on me. I've got to seal the deal. I've got to make you believe. I've got to convince you. No, you don't. You don't. And that's what I like about Philip's invitation. He didn't do any of that. He didn't say, "Oh yeah, it's on me. I've got to convince you to come into." He just said, "Up to you, mate. Have a look if you want to."
Yeah. And it's ultimately their decision, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the key.
And I think it's not being offended if they say no as well.
Yeah, and the
actually
more
it's sowing that seed. Actually, there is something.
Yeah. And the more pushy we are, the more we have to risk. I think because definitely. It's like, oh, I failed.
Yeah,
but actually, if you say, actually, it's your choice, and it is, isn't it? We're inviting people to come and see. We're inviting people to make a decision, a choice for themselves, and it's not ours to make. And I think our anxiety is, well, if I don't get them over the line, then I've failed. But Paul never saw it like that. He said, what did he say? I can't remember. It's one of his letters to a church. He says, one sows, another one reaps. Yeah. You know, we're all part of this process for people.
Yeah.
And for some people, it might be that they met you and it just made them start to think. But somebody else down the line might invite them to something. Then they cross that line. But it's all part of the same long journey and you're part of it. So I think, not being anxious about it and not being stressed about it and not think it's all on me. Because it's really about between them and God.
Yes.
And God, I can't save anybody. I couldn't do it.
No.
It's not up to me. Yeah. It's up to them and it's up to God's Holy Spirit. And they're the key movers, not me.
Yes.
So I need to relax and say, I'm just a cog in that wheel. I'm just a step on the journey and I just need to be that, and that's okay. And it's not, there's no pressure in that sense. And people have a right to say no.
They do.
And God respects that. God will respect their yes or their no. And that's between them.
Hopefully say yes at another point.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. People take a while getting there, don't they? Especially blokes. They reckon it takes years.
Really?
Yeah, they reckon ladies are a lot quicker in making decisions for Christ. From starting point to making that choice, men take about 4 or 5 times as long.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you hear so many Christian wives saying, blinking out, praying for him for years. What's he doing? We're not very quick.
No.
We're really not very quick. So, yeah. So hopefully that's given you some encouragement. It's not on you, folks. You're just number one, you're being a witness by being there. To get out there and meet people, get out there and be a part of a group, you know, first go and meet. And by doing that, they will see, folks will see a Christian and see that you're not quite as weird as you think you are. Well, you might be. Well, it might be a bit weird. That's right, yeah. There may be a few weird people queuing up. There's a few couple in the room here. But people will see you're an ordinary human being who's found something very, very, very important and very special. And start there. Let them see mm-hmm. you. Come and see me. Come and see me as an ordinary human being. And then maybe when that relationship gets a bit better and gets a bit deeper and they trust you, you can say, come and see this. Come and listen to this. Come and do that. I like the do bit.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think that's a great thing, actually.
Yeah. I think it's a really good idea. Yeah. Not just come and listen, but exactly. come and do. Yeah. Come and help. So there's all sorts of opportunities. What are you going to think about this week? Who are you going to think about? And where are you going to think about? And encourage you to do that, because how will they know if they've not heard? That's what it says, isn't it? How will they know unless somebody tells them? Or if somebody gets out there and is the invitation or makes an invitation.
Yeah.
And don't panic, it's not on you. You haven't got to get everybody over the line. That's between them and God. You just got to be part of the process. So do that. Yeah. Good. Excellent.
And got questions?
Yes. So you got questions and all that. Feel free to, there it is. Feel free to drop us a line. But here is Daz with his usual wonderful roundup of anything if you want to follow up on this today. We hope you have a great week. Yep. We hope you get opportunities to meet people, to let them see, and maybe even to invite them to come and see something that you can't do and something you can't say. All right. Bless you. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
That is it for today's episode. Well done for joining us and making it here to the end. Hopefully you feel slightly encouraged at least, or that you want to follow Jesus just that little bit more closely. You can join us in the room on a Sunday, but if that's too big of a next step for you, did you know you could also join us online for a video feed to one of our morning services? Do get in contact with us if you'd like to find out how you can do that. If you've got any questions about what you've heard today or about anything that's to do with following Jesus and just church lives, things we might be able to help you with, we've got an email address just for you. It's gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We'd love to hear from you there. Don't forget to share this. If you've enjoyed it, somebody else might do too. Share it with your friends. If you want to keep up to date with all that we do, hit that subscribe button to maintain that link with us and all that we produce. You can find it as well, links to these different things, on hawleybaptist.org.uk/media as well. Thank you for joining us again. We pray God blesses you, and we will look forward to you joining us next time.